So Fox Footy, right? They released this two-part All-Australian Selectors series, right?
Okay.
Where they try and provide some insight on how they select the All-Australian squad.
Yeah.
So they meet throughout the year, and it's like narrated by Nathan Buckley, who's like, oh, we meet throughout the year, and we don't want to just meet at the end of the year to select All-Australian because of this recency bias. And there's a panel. And there's people, like random people in this panel, like Kane Corns and Nathan Buckley, you say are
makes
reasonable.
Sense. Yeah.
And then there's people like Abby Holmes, Eddie Betts. I mean, like, and then it gets weirder and weirder. And there's people that you think should never be in this panel that are just there for representation, right?
Damien Barrett.
No. If he was there, he'd undercut the whole award, I think.
100%. It's like this, you know, Bont was all right, but, you know, I don't think he's actually that good.
Well, Lee Matthews, yeah. Like, yeah. Dustin Martin, it's only three games. It's only three games. Anyway, I watched these two-part series with excitement because, oh, look at this. Look at that. Yeah. They're providing a bit of transparency.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, I was like, this All-Australian award is not important. Like it made me feel like it's like a club get together and they pick their favorite players with no analysis, and then that's it. That's how it felt like. And I'd be interested to, if anyone's watched it, to comment and let us know how they felt. But it was about 20 minutes in total.
Yeah,
on Fox Footy, you can find it on YouTube, and they just kind of went through players. And they go, oh, so tell me, like, Bulldogs, who do you think, Bont I've got as a lock? I reckon, like, Libba's had a good season. And it was like, loose like that.
Yeah.
Now,
so it's like us talking about our favourite players.
It's like yeah, who's All-Australian? Yeah. Oh, look, Will Day, Zach Butters. And then they're mentioning people like Toby Green. And, like, Toby Green's had a very poor year by his standards.
Yeah, 100%.
But they were still like, oh, I don't think we can put Toby in. I don't think. It's like, obviously you can't put Toby in.
You don't even mention him. You don't even mention him.
It's like, the pool to their players that they expect to be there in the team is so strong.
Yeah.
No wonder other players can't get in. Now, I fully expect that there was some analysis behind, some stats behind their discussion. Yeah. They just left that out. Yeah.
But that's the part that we want to hear.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, like, us diehards, we want to hear that. Not, oh, yeah, he's kind of good. Oh, yeah.
Bro,
like,
there was one thing.
We could have done that.
We would have done
it better, to be 100%. Honest with you.
There was one thing where one of the panel selectors was like, I don't remember the exact player, but something along the lines of, we'll use Jordan Clarke as an example.
Yeah.
Jordan Clarke, I think he's been good. He's really setting up the drive for Frio. And then someone else was like, yeah, I know, but I think, like, I wouldn't put him in front of Dan Houston. I think Dan Houston does, like, what he does better. And that same panelist was like, yeah, I agree.
What? Where's like, the rebuttal, bro?
No, that's you just put a point forward. Weak. You just that put a point weak. Forward. So no one's fighting for these players. Now, it's a 20-minute video. I'm sure they were there all day. I hope 1,000 statistics were thrown to support your arguments. And I expect that's the case. But this video made me think, geez, man, maybe we shouldn't take this award too seriously.
True. So maybe the AFL Enjoys All-Australian is more valid and has stronger validity.
I think it is, man.
Legit,
we'll
man.
We'll compare ours to theirs at the end of the season and we'll see. The fans can make their say.
Yep, I agree. But yeah, because they also just put, oh, Sydney, yeah, we'll just give him a round one. Amati, 8 goals in a game,
nine goals, bro.
Yeah, we'll chuck him in.
Chuck him in, man.
By the way, can you hotspot me, bro?
It's not working, bro.
Where's your what's your thing though? It hasn't popped up for some reason, man. You always say that it's always open, but it never is, bro. Like, and you know, I have faith. I need you for internet, bro. Is it on? What? What's going on? Where's going
How
on?
How dare
man?
You question my hotspot,
man? What's it called, bro? What would come up? Oh, now it's popped up. Ah, connected. There we go. Now, thank you, man. Thank you.
No worries.
Anyway, so look, footy. I'm hotspotted. Now we can go talk about the footy, I guess. But yeah, this week, honestly, randomly a dramatic week.
It was really dramatic.
The most unexpected results.
Yeah.
You know, like just, it was a weird one, man. And
I actually thought it was a good round of football.
Yeah, it was actually pretty entertaining.
Considering a lot of teams were not playing.
Yeah. And it starts off with Brizzy versus St Kilda. Yeah. Right. And I thought it was just going to be
a wash.
100%. I'm like, there's no chance St Kilda getting anywhere near Brisbane. But in the end,
it's close, man.
I know.
Like, if it wasn't for a dodgy umpire 50, Saints could have snatched it right at the end, man.
Yeah, so
came within 7 points.
Yeah, no. Look, it was a weird one. Man. It was a weird one. But
that
look,
was weird.
Yeah, the I feel like one of the bigger takeaways for me, Hugh McCluggage, man, your boy.
He's my boy, man.
He's your boy for a good reason, man. Like my boy's Will Day, your boy's McCluggage, man.
Yeah,
yeah, or 100%. One of the boys, you know. Yeah. He's firmly in the Georgie's boys 22.
100%.
Yeah,
he just looked ferocious, man. When he has games like that, he's just amazing.
Yeah, 100%. And I think he's justified his, what, 7-year deal? I think it's a 7-year deal and it's like
It's a big money deal.
Like, yeah. up probably close to seven figures, you know, money wise per year. So Matt, shout out to him, man.
Yeah, look, he's playing. He's been good all year, but he does have games like that where he's just so dominant. The other one that played out of his skin, like he has the old man Zorko, like all year he's been like that, and he just was taking the piss.
I know, man.
They clamped him down in the fourth quarter, and it did help the Saints. It did help the Saints claw back the game. Go figure. If a guy's getting uncontested possessions nonstop and delivering it like bullets, stop him.
Yeah, that's fair call.
Stop
that's
him from just, doing just, that.
Hey,
he's old, bro. You just knock him over. He'll fall over.
Exactly. The thing I don't get is why is it a consistent thing that St. Kilda get torched by halfbacks?
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't know if it's the bad entries into the 50, but like legit in Supercoach every week, it's like whoever's playing halfback, vice-captain him, captain him. Like Darcy Wilmot got like 115 or something.
Yeah,
some ridiculous.
He's actually sneakily becoming a good player.
Yeah. Well, he looked really composed at points. Like there was times in like the back half where he was like, you know, 2-on-1, he still managed to get, you know, get the ball out.
I like him, man. He's got some speed. He's got some grunt.
He's got a little bit of moxie to him. Yeah,
he's got moxie.
He's got some moxie.
Well, it's interesting that you brought up the intercepts because Saints actually won the clearances up against like a Neil McCluggage, Dunkley midfield.
Yeah.
Their Paddy Wow midfield actually won the clearances, but it just gets intercepted and then slung the other way. So, I don't know. Saints, they played more attacking football. Mm. They finally kicked the score above 100, but it came at the cost of the Lions kicking 126 points, which I don't think the Saints have given up a score like that in a long time. So, obviously, they're trying to fix their low-scoring issues, but if it's going to come at the cost of the other team having their way with the ball, then that's not a solution either.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, I think at the very least, you can consider this a response from St. Kilda.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like I thought that they were bottom three last week, the week before, maybe even bottom two. Actually, you know what? Bottom three. Richmond, you know, and another amazing team in that category as well, which we'll get to later. But yeah, it was... The round of the small forward about a little bit as well, man. Higgins. Jackie Higgins, bro. That
was a big display. There was two goals from he kicked from the 50 as well.
He can get power in those legs, man. Shout out to him, man, for a guy who's like 165 centimeters. That's pretty impressive.
Look,
man.
He's always been a talented player. I don't know. But he had a big game for sure.
Yeah.
I also like the Windhager tag.
Yes.
Like this is the year. It's becoming the year of the tag, man.
It's crazy.
Like, primo.
And I was going to say before you were going to talk Supercoach, but every week there's like random new taggers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Coming out of nowhere.
I know. Like this week it was Bedford and Phillips. And I'm like, where do these guys come from? They're taggers now as well. Like,
it's like if you're a player that is not necessarily recognized as a name, just tag the name player.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's, I think, like, say for GWS, I think it works out well because Bedford is a small forward. They have too many of them. Move them to the midfield.
Yeah.
Actually works out well. I digress. We'll go into, you know, back into this game.
So Windhager tagged Neil, had a big impact. What I will say is it's obvious that Brisbane have come out from the bye a couple of weeks ago with a bit more intensity. And I think you can tell in Hipwood and Danaher. Yeah. They're playing aggressive, tough football, and it's kind of spreading throughout the Brisbane team. And it just looks like they've kind of come out and said, look, all right, we know that we're a good team. Maybe we're playing a little bit of champagne footy and it's taken us a while to react.
Yeah.
But I think they're back playing their hard-nosed football. They didn't smash the Saints or anything like that, but some of their players are finding a bit of form now. So we'll see what they do for the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's fair. But look, I think they've at least given themselves a platform to maybe sneak into the eight.
I think they can.
I think they can as well because there's so many mid teams floating around that sort of spot. So, but anyway, I think we'll jump into the next one. Yeah. And that was another one. I didn't expect this result
like that
bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like this is the constricting Dockers versus the Doggies.
Yeah.
And they copped 149.
Yeah, look, Dogs.
That's crazy, man.
Dogs were actually insanely good.
And led by Flu Game Bond.
Yeah.
Like, bruh. Like,
I feel like. That's cracked, man.
Yeah. I feel like we've mentioned it a few times on the pod, but the Flu Game. Yeah. That's the Michael Jordan thing. You know what I mean? Like, I think it was. Look, there was more. I think it was game five in the finals or whatever it was. You know, it was in the playoffs. Yeah. But regardless, if you're sick and you're doing what he's doing, it's ridiculous, man. Like,
look, maybe it's a conspiracy theory. Maybe they said he's sick so that the opposing players don't want to get sick as well.
Ooh.
So they stay off him. They give Bont a little bit of space. He'll pull a, you know, 30 game possession, 3 goals, ridiculous as performance.
Yeah, no, mate. Shout out to him, man. Shout out to him. But I think now that, like, they've got, I feel like they've got their best players back now. So Lib's back.
Yeah.
Richards.
Oh, Richards is like, you talk about your Will Day and I talk about Hume Clutch. Richards is like my boy at the moment, man. Yeah, every time I see him in the midfield, my heart starts racing.
Because you liked him as a halfback as well. You were always a Richards guy back then.
The story with Richards is that Lachie O'Brien, I'll probably say this 10 times on the pod, but Lachie O'Brien got picked at pick 10 before Richards.
Yeah.
And Stephen Silvani said that Lachie O'Brien has more upside than Richards. And so he picked him. Lachie O'Brien has been delisted. Richards is dominating the midfield for the Dogs. So they got that one wrong. Imagine Richards in Carlton's midfield right now.
That'd be crazy. And you know the thing is, he would have the versatility to go down back.
That's right.
If need be. You know what I mean? Yeah, it would just give you guys more options.
He's like work in the forward 50 on the ground in the first half was insane. He had like an almost game where he could have kicked like 3 goals. They got touched on the line. He's handballing out like rapid fire to all these plays. He's insane. So they have, so Bont playing out of his mind. Liba, very, very good. Treloar, career best season potentially.
Yeah, yeah.
And now Richards, X-factor midfield. And then they've got the Noodle as the rock.
Yeah, and the Noodle's actually doing all right. Yeah,
Noodle's good.
He had a good game against Jackson and Darcy.
Yeah. That's as good as it midfield as any other team has.
Pretty much. So, it's up there, man. It's up there. Seriously. Like,
so if they can kind of like that, and they're playing, like, we've talked so much shit about Bevo, but I honestly think he's turned it around a little bit. They're playing like
respect for Bevo.
Look, respect, I don't know if Bevo, we say like, respect.
Yeah, I think it's that might be a bit too strong. Respect.
That's a strong word, respect.
It is, man. It is.
But I just feel like the team is playing in sync, and like there's random players that we kind of questioned, like some of their smalls and stuff like that, like West and all that stuff. They're starting to play like good football, consistent football.
Just do their job. You know what I mean? That's look. You need role players, man. You can't all be superstars.
That's true. And if Rory Lobb is having a good game,
I think it says enough. Look, against
something is changing in the culture at that club.
Yeah, I think that's a bit of, you know, a bit of a revenge game for him. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he probably still hates
back to being a flop next week.
Exactly right. But you know, hey, good on him, man. Good on him. I'm having a look at their previous scores, right? Like what was the previous high score against Freo? And it is, there was 105 from West Coast. And that's it, man.
Yeah, that was a crazy game, though.
Yeah, 105 from West Coast. And then, no, that's it. So the Bulldogs have done something unprecedented this year.
Yeah.
And I think, that's that big respect, man.
It was fun to watch, man. You know, one interesting thing they did, if we talk a bit about Freo, is they finally went after Ryan and Clark. And they didn't allow them to just chip the ball between each other and set up the play.
There goes my Supercoach draft, man. Bro, there goes my Supercoach draft. They're both my boys in draft.
Both of ours, right?
Yeah.
And what's interesting is they let the leash off Ryan for like 2 minutes in like the second quarter. And he had like
40 points
in like a six minute. Six marks and six kicks in like 2 minutes. And then like, stop, clamped him up.
Yeah.
But they did not let them set up their place. And the Dockers were punished as a result. So clearly, we talk about this mark kick game, but that's actually their game style. That's actually what Dockers want to do because Clark and Ryan have a license to be able to find the play to get them moving. It's a pretty simple game plan to stop Freo, isn't it?
It is. It is. Like, I think it's, look, they're going to have to, you know, really, you know, I don't know. They're going to have to find a way to counteract, you know, teams counteracting them. Yeah. I don't know how to explain it, but like, is it because the Bulldogs just have a game plan that matches up well with them?
Potentially.
Like, that might be it. Who knows, man? Like,
they did. Look, I think they beat him out of the midfield, right? In general.
Yeah. Yeah, true. Which is, look, no easy task against Freo's midfield, because it's not a bad midfield at all.
So if Freo's midfield is getting beaten and then they're not getting that play from the halfback because they're just not letting those Ryan chips, then Freo's weapons are kind of, you know, halted a little bit.
Yeah, that's fair.
I did like Hayden Young, though. I thought in the fourth quarter he was spectacular.
He's a good player, man. Yeah. He's a top player.
Like, yeah, adds a little bit to their midfield, man.
It's interesting. So, like, halfbacks becoming midfielders.
It's a thing. I mean, Rory Led did it. Doherty did it to a lesser extent. Like, they can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the Dawson is the big one.
Dawson, yeah.
Dawson, Richards.
Richards.
It happens often, man. Yeah. It happens really often, which is interesting. I guess it just adds another.
Like a halfback is just a midfielder that's playing halfback, man. Dan Houston
That's true.
Midfielder.
He used to play
Woodfield was a midfielder.
Yeah, true, true. He's gone the opposite way. Yeah. He's gone the opposite.
He's run away from the contest.
That's it. Which suits him, to be honest with you.
I could beat him in an arm wrestle, man.
Yeah, probably. Actually, no. I'll back you
I
in,
didn't
man.
Mean that seriously.
I'll back you in. But yeah, nah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Weird, interesting game. Another interesting result. But then the next one, honestly, I think you said I'm backing in Richmond for a.
Yeah, I did. I backed them in.
You backed them in, and yeah, burnt a lot actually, and burnt their fans. You know, they were given that moment early in the game,
the dusty goal.
But then they did not look in it at any point.
No,
seriously, man. Like,
yeah, 100%.
The Hawks are just a good team, bro.
Cancorn said they're the second best team in it at the moment.
That's a bit.
But they've won 6 out of the last 7, and that loss was to Port in the last 30 seconds where they kicked 2 goals.
So you know what?
So imagine they win that Port game, which they should have. They'd be undefeated in the last 7 games.
Yeah. So maybe that's just the case.
Set the alarm.
Yeah, so alarm's gone off, but that's all good. And whilst Georgie's gone, as per tradition, I'm going to talk about Supercoach for a little bit. It was a weird week. So I had Houston, or I have Houston, and he managed to get a 170 finally. I've been waiting for it. And even then I had a good captain as well. And I still did shit. I don't know what's going wrong. Like, I'm trying my best. I traded in Rankin. He's kind of cool. You know, got us a 97. But yeah, and I lost in draft, so it's been pretty bad. Anyway, back to the footy for a little bit.
92,000 people rocked up to that game for Dusty. It's a, it's a record between these two teams. It's something like the 6th, like, biggest home and away crowd or something like that.
I just love if you've gone, you've sprinted back and forth and straight into it, bro. Were you thinking about what you were going to say?
No, man,
back?
I'm a professional, bro.
Hey, I like that.
But
like
that's
that.
Pretty crazy turnout just for this one play. Like, the respect that Dusty has, the fans showed up for him.
Yeah, no, and look, that respect is deserved, no matter what Liam Matthews says. Man, yeah. Like, he's one of the goats, man. He's 100%. One of the goats. Like, I think the special thing about him is he's always there for the big moment. Yeah. In this game, he at least provided a big moment.
Yeah.
At the very least, you know, he did deliver.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Norm Smiths say it all. You know, the finals performances in general, just, you know, unbelievable. Was it 2 Brownlows?
One Brownlow, 3 Norm Smiths.
What else is there to say, man? It's just a shame that, you know, they've come up against, you know, the Hawks at a time where they're, like, they're ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
They're ridiculous. And... you know, and they're not very good. They beat Adelaide last week, which is crazy. Now think about it. How bad does that make Adelaide, man?
Adelaide are terrible. Bro.
That's
I had a couple of Richmond friends at the game, and they said that Dusty goal was ridiculous players wise. But I think the Hawks, they also turned up to this game knowing that they were in for a treat. It was a beautiful day, a beautiful winter's day. Weather not the issue. The conditions perfect and. And a high-flying Hawks team that know that they can win against Richmond wanted to spoil the party for them.
Yeah.
And they did. So what I've got some notes here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Watson, one goal 4. Remember when I started, like, I'm becoming a little bit of like a Nick Watson hater.
Ooh, that's interesting. So Dino's brother's the same thing.
I've mentioned Nick Watson a couple of times on the pod now. So I know he's getting a little bit of the ball, but my criticism of him is the fact that he's meant to be this really skillful player and he's missing shots directly in front of goal. Isaac Rankin, who was pick 3, right, on his first game, kicked like 3 goals from like the boundary. Like, not even looking.
Yeah.
Where is this guy's like forward class? Like, you know, he's running out to the right. He's like sprinting in the wrong direction to kick a goal, man.
Yeah.
Who's teaching this kid?
I don't know. Look, I'm not. We have like the Watson wizard scale, and he's purely in the muggle territory. He's a muggle, unfortunately. But look, I think with guys in their first year, you can't get too.
No, I'm not
concerned. I hear you.
Saying that small forwards like that, I think that they rely a lot on like natural nous and talent.
Yeah, right? Which is apparently during the draft year.
Yeah.
That's all they said about him.
Yeah,
maybe this was just Cal Toomey. Because Cal Toomey was the big like wizard guy. I think he came up with the name.
Really?
I'm pretty sure he came up with the Wizard Watson name. So I don't know. Look, did Cal Toomey just try to boost up this guy so we can get more money? Like, what's the go?
I don't know.
Because you know, you're higher a draft pick, you get more money. Like, you know, investigation into Cal Toomey.
Is he getting envelopes under the table from the Wizard?
100%.
100%. Is an owl delivering envelopes?
Yeah. That's because, look, let's be fair. Like, do you actually watch draft, like, full games?
No.
No. A few people do.
Some highlights here, there.
Yeah, I watch highlights as well. Because, and he was probably like to, Cal's probably like to Nick, look, a couple highlight plays, brother. That's all I need, and I can run with that. I've got a narrative there to run with.
Yeah.
But anyway, nah, look. Look, don't want to question the integrity of Cal, but you know, I don't know. Nah.
We're on front page news tomorrow night.
You know. Cal Toomey with like handcuffs on. Why did they say it? Those damn AFL
bro,
enjoyers.
If he had handcuffs in one night turnaround from this podcast, that'd be pretty crazy.
Hey, I wish
that means what we're saying is true.
Hey, true. Imagine, mate, if we had that type of influence, bro, that'd be crazy, man.
Can't wait for that. Subscribe so we can have that type of influence.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's talk about the good players, right? This was a Newcomb game.
Yep.
This was a Sicily game.
Definitely.
This was a Chalk game. They're three of my boys, not gonna lie. I don't know if Newcomb isn't like in the Matza 22 of boys, but he's in my draft team, so that's something. Yeah. But Chol and Sicily, they're the bookends of Matz's 22. They like, you know, they're just like specifically Chol, the lackadaisical nature. Sicily, just, you know, big game player. He's just, you know, just a fiery bloke.
He is a big game player for sure. Yeah.
So and he came to play, man. He came to play.
Look, good on the Hawks for, you know, turning around the rebuild so quickly.
Mm.
So again, like if they had won against Port, they'd be in the eight right now, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, true. True.
Because we're pretty deep into the season.
Mm. I think they're going to make it.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
They're playing for each other. They're playing tough. Mm. No one is necessarily like a standout superstar.
Yeah, it sort of changes week to week, man. I feel like it's been my boy Will Day. Like it the last been. Month or something. But today it was Newcomb and Sicily.
Yeah.
They took the charge. You know what I mean? So, yeah, they've just got so many options of players who can break games open. So, yeah. But like having a look at little Sicily stats, right? 28 kicks, 15 marks.
Mm.
That's just, it was a Ryan performance.
Yeah.
That is a Luke Ryan performance.
And he's probably got a high kicking efficiency. He makes the right decision.
Mm. Well, his efficiency was 82%.
It's pretty good for how many kicks.
Yeah, it was only six contested possessions. So it makes sense. He was basically just the general
dictating the play.
Exactly, the quarterback, some might say. Anyway, look, kind of a sad finish to, you know, to Dusty's 300.
He's still got like a seven-minute interview at the end from Jack Riewoldt. And he's just like, yeah, it's about the fans. I feel really blessed. And then he asks another question. Yeah, the fans. I feel really blessed. Ask him another question, Jack. Yeah, the fans.
Really stoked.
I feel really loved.
Yeah, really stoked for the boys. You know, and the boys, you know, they've been training really hard and we've been really working hard and making
sure. Shame we didn't get the result, but it's about the team. I feel loved. He's got one script, this guy.
Hey, that's, you know, I think his lawyers have probably told him, bro, just say this, nothing else. Don't talk about your weekend. Don't say that. No,
I know you're tempted, but keep it PG for the kids.
That's it. Anyway, we'll move over to a game which probably won't talk about that much, to be honest with you.
Like, Sydney are pretty good, dude.
Yeah, they're not bad at all. But look, in saying that, Adelaide were up.
Yeah, at half time.
How did that happen, bro? Well, what is with this team?
Here's a stat for you.
Yeah.
Last four games Sydney have played, they've lost the first quarter by a significant amount.
Okay.
So they're starting very slowly.
Yeah.
And I think they're so good that they want a bit of a challenge. So they're letting teams get ahead of them so that they can chase them down like sport. You know when you're like a big bad bully and you're like playing with the ants and you're like messing up their anthill, then waiting from... That's what Sydney is doing to other teams, man.
Yeah. And then when they finally start rebuilding the anthill,
boom. That's Chad Warner.
Chad Warner comes out and burns the anthill. Look, it's almost like hustling people in pool. You know what I mean? It's just like, oh, this is so hard, this game.
Yeah.
You know, and then you want to play for 50, you know.
Bro, it's exactly like that.
That's what they're doing.
I'm just sick of looking at the stat line, he need two goals. Stop kicking so many goals from the midfield, bro. You're going to win the Coleman. Stop it.
True, true. And Coleman, Brownlow, Norm Smith. Everything. Like, settle down, bro. Like, I like a nice even spread of result, of, you know, of rewards.
Yeah, the even spread is Heaney, Gouldin, and Chad Warner sharing it.
Somehow they'll give Isaac Heaney the rising star as well.
Yeah.
Because he still looks like he's 22.
Yeah.
You know, he still looks like a child, even though he's like, what, 28 or something?
I think he's 27, 28.
Yeah. So he's like peak, you know, Abby's powers right now. But yeah, look, the Amadi party.
We were watching the last couple of minutes, pissed off he didn't kick 10 goals, man.
I know.
Is on the bench or something like that?
Yeah.
Rested?
Yeah, poor man, poor. Like that's, where's the sense of occasion for Johnny?
That's
Johnny
just lazy, Lamar, man.
Exactly. The crazy thing about it is that every shot was a, you know, every disposal was a score.
Yeah.
That's insane, you know what I mean? That's
9 goals won from 10 kicks, man.
that's nuts. And I think it's gotten a little bit more media attention recently, but Grundy just being given away.
He's like, dominating, man. He got 49 hitouts, bro.
It was against what? Strachan. Like, but I don't know.
49 hitouts to a midfield like Sydney's. No wonder Amadi kicks 9 goals, man.
Because it's just going to be easy for him. It's just straight out of the stoppage, man. But yeah, like, I don't know. What are we going to say? Sydney are going to be first. Adelaide are going to be 12th.
I don't know how Sydney doesn't make the grand final. It'd be the biggest, like, fall from grace. These guys are like 3 wins clear with like 40 percentage on. Like, what?
Has there been a team like this of recent memory?
I don't think they have. Statistically, I think they're breaking records left, right, and center.
Like, I'm trying to think. There was a time where, like, remember the Saints at one season? They, like, could not lose a game. They were, and then they lost in like the last 5 or so weeks to Essendon and North. I remember that very specifically because I felt good. Oh yeah, we beat the Saints. You know what I mean? That was a year where they made the final, and then I think it was the grand final replay year. But they had like 16 or something wins in a row. Something ridiculous like that.
Yeah,
you know. So there's that.
I don't know, man. They're obviously the team to beat. I think everyone else is just making up the numbers, man.
Yeah, you know. Which look, we still want to see how it happens. Yeah. And that's the thing with the AFL season, like, because you don't know, man.
You don't know.
Like,
one injury, one poor thing, something happens.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Hey, what's the next game?
North and Pies, I think.
Yeah, look, so this is where you're going to have to put the mic down. We'll turn yours off for a little bit, lower it a bit. But, look, I think with this game, I just want to – we'll start off by saying watching this game, right, was heart-wrenching. Devastating.
Yep.
Heartsick is what I'll say. I was heartsick. Like, that was tough at the time. Like, numb. You know, a lot of song references right there.
Yeah.
But
it was a stairway to heaven.
It was stairway. Yeah, no, legit. But look, I think I'm gonna go through what I'm unhappy with, right, to start off. And first of all, my team was up by 54 and we lost. That's poor, right? That is poor. The umpiring. I've got 3 specific scenarios where big mistakes, right? The obvious one is the Bailey Scott one, right? Where 2 people crossed the protected area and no 50 was given. The AFL have tried to say, oh, it's because, you know, it shouldn't have been called a mark and that's why the Collingwood players didn't know, blah, blah, blah. But the mark, there was a whistle for a mark. That means you've got to go based on what's been called on the previous play. And if it was called a mark and they crossed the line like that, it's a 50. Simple as that. I don't care what the AFL is trying to spin it, you know, to say, oh, well, the umpire made a mistake and then he just rectified his mistake. It's trash. It's trash. Bad excuse from Laura Kane and the lads. But so that, there was the Nick Dacos
holding the ball.
And there was, again, Bailey Scott involved again with a Jack Crisp goal. Where you can actually see, so they brought it back, like the goal was reviewed, there was a little break in the play, and they didn't overturn the decision. But if you look at the footage, you can see a finger movement. You can see the right finger move.
Yeah.
Like that, I saw one earlier in the week. I can't remember what it was, and I'll have to revisit it, but it was a similar situation where it was that close, and they called it. They were happy to call it. But against Collingwood, no, they weren't willing to call it, which is trash. Going back to Nick Dacos, right, that decision, Kane Corns was having a chat with Buckley And he actually said, you know, and this is something I feel like I've talked about on the pod, that players get special treatment. And the fact that Kane Corns mentioned that being someone that's, you know, a player involved shows that there's somewhat validity to that statement, even though it is Kane Corns. But more validity was the fact that when he asked for Buckley's opinion, he just moved on. Oh, yeah, you know who else? Wintager. He should have more free kicks against because blah, 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 blah. He didn't want to actually give an opinion, Buckley, because he knew. He knew that he's right. Dacos gets treated like royalty. And as a San Antonio Spurs fan in the NBA, I watch, you know, a lot of the home games or games in general, and there's the commentators. Every team has their own commentary team. And Sean Elliott always goes, that's NBA royalty over there, Jason Tatum. NBA royalty over there, LeBron James, whatever. They always get the calls. It's the same thing with the AFL. I'm not trying to take anything away from Nick Dacos, but in that moment, clear favoritism there. Mm. I'll talk a little bit about Collingwood and what they did very well, right? Actually, you know what? I got one more grievance. North Melbourne fans, people on Twitter, actually being like sour on the team and the boys. That's dog shit to me. That is ridiculous, man. This was a Herculean effort from these boys to be up by 54 points against the reigning premiers. I have no patience for people who are going to talk shit on the players. It was a great effort from them. I'm actually really proud of them. I'll talk about the good shit. Talk about the good stuff in regards to the players. So, Wardlaw, crazy, right? LDU, great game as well. Sheasel, great game. Cherry, two goals from that guy. One from deep in the boundary, which is ridiculous, man. And another chase down tackle from him.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about, who were you talking about earlier as a midfield? The Bulldogs.
Bulldogs.
Obviously, we're not to that level yet. But you can't tell me that Cherry, like I think he's probably a better ruckman to an extent than English. To an extent. In different ways, he can be a better ruckman, especially for the center clearance work.
He's having a better year than English.
Center clearance work, he's better than English is what I'll say. Obviously, English does his stuff around the ground, right? But then Wardlaw, LDU, Shees, I feel like they are on the trajectory of Bont, Treloar, and you know Richards and Libba, whatever. They have that type of scope for improvement.
They're very highly picked, high draft pick, talented players.
So. Mm-hmm. So look, with watching that and watching, you know, Larky being able to, you know, get his influence on the game. Mm. Look, I'm very happy to be honest with you. Like, I, apart from the initial heartbreak of the game, like I actually feel really positive moving forward. And yeah, I think the time of us being a really bad team is just gone now, man. Like, you know, we talked about Hawks earlier. They lost that game against Port by, you know, after being up by however much it was. This is a similar type of performance from us. You know what I mean? Mm. Not, we didn't really look any less upon the Hawks for losing that game. It shouldn't be any different for North. I think the only difference is the fact that we've been bad prior to this. Yeah. You know what I mean? So,
I watched this game because it was a very exciting game of football.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, you maybe wouldn't expect. But, I thought North played really tough. It was good to see Larky get some opportunity because he's, you know, when he actually gets good delivery, right, we know he's a killer set shot.
Yeah.
It was interesting the Will Phillips tag on Dacos.
Yes.
Because irrespective of what we said previously for Dacos, that guy turned it around for him last quarter. His delivery inside 50, the fact that whenever he gets a goal opportunity in a big moment, he always kicks it.
Yeah.
Someone needs to clutch. Just like knock out this guy for the game.
Look, yes. But on that, Will Phillips, like with the blonde tips, bro's different.
He's different.
He like, I'm not going to say he completely locked down Dacos, but he really nullified his, you know, his impact.
Why did they sub him off?
Interesting that. Like, also I wanted to say he kicked a nice goal as well, you know, which was mad from, you know, around the 45, you know, on the run. Beautiful. I'm going to assume, because they said, oh, the fresh legs of the sub. That's what Clarko said. They have more technology than us in regards to effort and... What's it called? How tired the players are and this and that. So I'm happy to just go, I'm going to play ignorant and be like, they've got more technology than us. They know that this dude was probably at high intensity, doing too much high intensity running when he's not capable of it at this stage of his career. Mm. And also he's been playing VFL for the last however long, you know what I mean? He hasn't played a game in a while. So I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there, but it did turn the game because Shields couldn't get anywhere near Dacos, man. Like he just,
Well, the thing is North, They played three amazing quarters,
mm.
but one poor quarter. Their midfielders just could not get their hands on the ball in the last quarter to arrest any momentum.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy. I mean, like, we know that Pies have come back many times,
mm.
but the feeling of inevitability of them slowly chipping away,
mm.
that was hard for me to watch, man. I don't know what it would have been like for you. But it's just yeah. like all they needed was one goal to arrest the momentum. And then, like, there was that last play with Zerha where he went to the side.
Oh, I know. And Fisher
with a snap in the last 3 seconds.
Mm. And the commentators are like, they're out here. They're out here.
Yeah, whenever they say they're out.
I know. You just assume, I'm just assuming a goal. And then he turned away. When
I think they're out, I think Doherty's kick inside 50 to Akers, Carlton Melbourne semi-final last year.
Yeah.
You just the excitement of the game's broken apart and anything could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, I think it's amazing what a win can do for a team.
Mm.
The win that you had last week, the confidence you bring into this week.
Yeah.
It's big. Hopefully you can continue to play something like that for the rest of the season and you know, find some more about your team.
Mm. Well, look, an interesting call from Kane Corns again. He was spitting bars on SCN today or whenever those videos came from. He said something on the lines of like, you know, they'll win more games than they lose from here on out. I'm like, I don't know what that means.
He just says shit, man.
Yeah. I'm like, is that for the rest of the season? Is that for like the next 3 years? Like, what are you talking about, bro?
You know what? He'll say that and then you'll lose next week and he'll say North continue to be the worst team we've seen. Yeah,
true.
That's just one of those ones, man.
True. But yeah, look, I'm trying to think. There's plenty to talk about this game. This was the most dramatic game just about of the season. And maybe because my team's involved and I feel more.
It was dramatic because it was like the underdogs versus the Giants.
Yeah, true. Yeah. As in Collingwood, the Magpies, not GWS.
Speaking of the Giants, should we move on to them?
There was something I did want to say. There was something else I did want to say in regards to the game. What was it? Okay. Yeah, Dacos, that last quarter, crazy, bro. And Bobby Hill.
Yeah,
we got to talk about Bobby Hill just a little bit. Those two marks that he took, they're both top five marks of the season.
Yeah, he's a freak.
And more beyond that, right? North, the pressure dropped off, right, in the last quarter, as we all know. But I think that game style of Collingwood, they were kind of playing like that throughout the game. But it only, towards the end, where they were winning the 50-50 ball, right? This is what Clarko said in his post-match, right? Basically, those 50-50 balls that they were going for, that like roulette type play where they're, you know, just try, you know, 50-50, you know, the gutsy type plays that they're trying to make, that wasn't working in the first half. In the end, when the pressure goes down, luckily for them, it did work, you know, and that was the game in the end. And then, you know, obviously those decisions that I talked about earlier, you know, went against us and we only lost by a point. So like, I don't know, man. Like, hard not to feel good afterwards when you put some perspective around it. Yeah. And I hope the boys take that on. Like Nick Larkey, he had a nice post-match interview as well where it seemed as though he took that on as well, you know, the positives. Mm. And I hope that they just continue that because, you know, it would be very – it's a disheartening loss, but like I'm more heartened personally than disheartened. Anyway, so hopefully North supporters, the players, the coaching staff, they take that opinion, that, you know, that feeling going forward. But yeah, no, that's I think enough of that game before I start crying. Mm-hmm. Yeah, GWS.
Mm,
they won. Yeah, and there was how many behinds were kicked in that game?
I can't count that high, bro.
Yeah, no, true. That's more fingers and toes and like, you know,
yeah, you got
body parts than I can count. No. Yeah, look, that's poor from Port, to be honest with you. I think this is their opportunity, man.
Yeah.
To, you know, to have a nice decent win against GWS who are out of form.
Yeah.
The thing that I don't get is McEntee's been the stopper.
Mm.
For them, why didn't they send him to Whitfield?
Yeah,
I don't get that. That's so weird to me.
He had a big game. Well, it was a game of half backs because it was Houston versus Whitfield.
Yeah,
and they both set up all their play. It was dominant performance from both of them.
Yeah,
I think maybe they had a lot of ball because both teams kicked so many points and they got the kick-ins and they could set up their play.
Yeah, true.
I think look, the Giants had to respond eventually. They've lost so many of their last games. Mm. They have the bye. They come back a bit refreshed. They get Josh Kelly back.
Mm,
eight coaches weird. Votes from him. He must be the key to their ball movement, this guy.
That's fair. That's fair.
Like, he makes a big difference.
Yeah. There's a reason why, you know, he's a million a year type player.
He's a special player.
Yeah. We talked about it earlier, but Toby Bedford
mm.
going and shutting down Butters, no less.
Not the first time Butters has been shut down now this year. So
yeah, so there's obviously, you know, he's a guy who can be stopped. Mm. Which
well,
is
Green got tagged as well by Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're just both. Everyone's been taken out. The only team that can't be tagged is the Swans.
Apparently, you know, you can't stop them, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it'd be interesting to see if people start, you know, trying to nullify certain players. But who would you pick for Sydney? I think Heaney.
I don't think you can tag out a Sydney team because their system will just beat you. I think you just got to play your game style better somehow.
Yeah, and just hope that your players all try to win their one-on-one matchups and be defensive.
I think that's the only way to do it.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And if you lose, you lose.
Yeah. But yeah, no, this game, yeah, look. Yeah, Bedford, he might be that new guy, man, for them, you know. Maybe that's that extra, you know, little bit of spark that they need. Managed to get a goal as well. You love when a tagger gets a goal. So
that's true. Look, two teams that try to play an attacking brand of football in a very low-scoring contest at the graveyard. So watching these type of games, man, they can be pretty boring with 9,000 people in the crowd.
Yeah, true. I think if that's the case, you know, well said. I think we just leave it at that for them. Yeah. They don't deserve much more analysis. I'm trying to see. Does anyone really deserve a shout-out here? Yeah, no, not really.
Not the best game. But the one thing you can say, and it's easier to say now, but it's just one of those games that either one of those teams just had to win. And it doesn't matter how they did it.
Yeah.
But the result's the only thing that matters. And it has a big sway in the context of the season.
It does.
Because Giants jump back up to what, fifth or something like that?
Yeah. Well, now it's – so Giants are fifth, Porter seventh, and they're both on 32 points.
Yeah.
So that's a, you know, the 8-point swing right there. Yeah. Look, I think with Paul, I'm kind of with Dino on, you know, the hate Ken Hinckley train. Because, they think that they're good, man.
Yeah.
They think that they're good. And they're just not, bro. They're just not. They're not in that top four space.
I don't think they're a top four team, though.
And which I think a bit of it is their forward line. They just don't have, you know, a consistent threat that kicks accurately.
Yeah.
None of them have stepped up. Dixon got suspended.
Yeah.
Now in the, you know.
Well, Butters got suspended as well for 1 week.
Really?
Yeah.
That hurts, man.
I don't know if he'll appeal it or not, but if he does, then there goes, not that he was going to win the Brownlow, but there goes his option.
True. Look, I think he would have been up there.
Surely.
Yeah. Like, he's a gun, man. When they win games, he kills it.
Mm. Well, decent suspended. I think Georgiadis is an accurate set shot. Todd Marshall has been, but he was woeful.
Yeah.
Now, how many opportunities did Bort have in the last quarter? Set shots, just missed every single one of them. Yeah, frustrating.
It's shocking, man. It's shocking. Yeah. Anyway, we'll jump into next week. And actually, you know what? Before we do jump into next week, one of the teams have the bye, and that was Melbourne. I just want to talk about Petrarca, bro. Yeah. Did you hear about his situation?
Well, with the broken ribs.
Yeah. Did you hear that about he had to have surgery, right? Yeah. I'm assuming it was that night at 2 a.m., right? And because of the blood loss that he had, he couldn't have anesthesia. And this was an open surgery.
What?
Yeah. That sounds like torture to me.
What? Surely they could have given him something.
Apparently not. Would it, like, I guess if you got that, like, a lack of blood, it would be dangerous to take an anesthetic. Like, you would just be, you know, because it would affect you way more. You know what I mean?
Saying that they just, like, ripped him open while he's conscious?
Yeah, whilst he's got a lacerated spleen.
Bro, this guy's a freak.
Legit, man, legit. And apparently now...
That's like horror movie type of
story. No, legit. And he said something along the lines of, because I don't know if he had to... I don't know for what purpose, but he has to get re-vaccinated now because of the blood loss and this and that. And he's like isolated now in his hospital for like days upon days.
What?
Like, bro has, like, he
could have died.
He could have died, man. He's going through hell right
bro,
now.
Bro, if he went back onto the field, if he got tackled, he could be dead.
I'm
not even joking.
Legit. Like,
imagine they land on his, like, they tackle him to the ground and a hard tackle land on him.
Yeah.
He's finished.
Yeah. I think, I don't know where, like, is it him being a tough guy trying to get back out on the field? Is it the club being like, oh, track, we need you, bro?
No, it wouldn't have been that. It would have been Petrarca forcing himself back on the field, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot's been talked about that. Look, I don't know, man. It's more than, I think the only time a player that's sick goes back on the field like that is like a final series or something like that.
Yeah.
But obviously, if they had diagnosed him with a lacerated spleen and ribs, he's never going back on, nor should he.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
A lot of the talk is like, we need better technology to be able to assess that stuff, because those type of internal injuries, you can just die.
Yeah, no, legit, man. Legit.
Matthew Lloyd talked about how he had one when he was playing. Mm. And, you know, he went home that night, felt sick. He was with his parents and his parents took him to the hospital.
Yeah.
But if he had gone to bed, he would have died.
Oh, wow.
You know
what
I mean?
That's crazy. Look, and it came up with my, like, we're talking about it with my dad, right? And he's like, this is actually the toughest sport, the most dangerous sport.
Oh, it's mental.
Like, rugby, gridiron, they got nothing on this, bro. No. They have nothing on this. The only sport that might be more dangerous is like contact sport, like what's called combat sports, yeah. Like boxing, where you're getting constantly punched in the head.
Yeah, I'd you say know what I mean? I'd say like MMA boxing, you know, you can get like knocked out.
Mm. But MMA, like, I don't even know if it would be that as bad. Oh.
It's definitely worse.
I've heard that boxing's way worse than MMA.
Really?
You know, that's one of those things that Joe Rogan says. You know what I mean? Well, actually, with MMA, you know, they found that boxing, you know, that type of thing, you know. But
you know, other than sports where you get smacked in the face every round, it's brutal. Like, I was actually thinking the other day, like, you know, I'd love to play footy, but I'm like a weak, unfit 27-year-old. If I went onto the field and got tackled by some mammoth, like, 40-year-old unfit guy, he'd squash me and kill me.
Exactly, 100%. 100%.
I'm already injury-prone and always got the sniffles. I don't need some guy just smacking me to the ground. I'll be finished.
I think there's, like, that's probably why they invented, like, AFL 9s and stuff like that, where it's like, oh, as soon as you touch someone, that's it.
I'm a touch footy man. I've become a touch footy man.
Yeah, and I reckon it would suit you because you've got a little bit of leg speed, you know? You've got a decent
I'm elusive.
Yeah, he's elusive. That's it. Evasive, you know, half-back dasher. Yeah. You know what I mean? You're like the Whitfield of AFL 9s, mate.
Bro.
Just
kicking darts.
That's it, man. That's it. I don't know what that would make me. I'm the least like fit for like footy. Like you, it makes sense because at least you've got a little bit of dash. You've got, you know, decent kicking.
I don't have much dash. Right?
Nah, look, compared to me, you got some dash, right? Like for me, I was okay with futsal because futsal, at least, you know, I could be tough. You know, futsal tough, not footy tough.
No.
You know what I mean?
Footy's like, brutal, man.
Yeah. Like,
what are the other players that see Petrarca? Do they like go to bed that night and just have nightmares? Could happen to anyone, man.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing. Like, and mate, Collingwood against Melbourne, they've brutalized these boys.
Oh my
gosh,
bro. They've knocked Brayshaw, two of their players.
Exactly. Brayshaw and Track.
They've ended their season twice.
Mate, ended a career.
Ended a career and ended a season. Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Like, look, I think it's, you know, I think it's coincidence, or maybe not. Maybe not, but like, I don't know. It's, look, you know, shout out to Tracker. He needs to get his flowers, man. That dude's a warrior.
Yeah, no, he's for sure.
Sad to not be able to watch him for the rest of the season.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you're right. Melbourne didn't play, but losing him.
I just needed to get a mention.
I don't think that they make the finals now.
You know what, man?
Right. They're a good team. Don't get me wrong. They're not going to be easy beats.
Yeah.
But Petrarca is their best player other than Gorn.
Mm.
But he's the one that whenever Melbourne's losing, you go, oh, geez, Petrarca's still good.
Yeah, exactly.
Oliver's not playing strong football.
Yeah.
Petrarca has been their elite player. Gorn, he can tap it and take marks and kick goals, but it's one player, man. Like they just don't have that X factor anymore.
That's fair. Anyway, prayers for Petrarca, you know.
Yeah, get well soon.
Get well soon, man. You know,
if you actually had to go and get ripped apart by a doctor without any pain relief.
That's crazy.
That's like, you need to be like, go to therapy for trauma.
I know. That's like prisoner of war type stuff. You know what I mean? Like that's
like some Russian novelist is going to write about you.
Yeah. I think it was, I was watching something like that about, you know, I think it was, the Japan, there was a guy, Ito or something, or Shiro Ishii. I think it was Shiro Ishii. Crazy dude, bro. Crazy dude, just, you know, human experiments and that type of stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That, bro, if you want to go into like a sad rabbit hole,
I don't.
That's the one. Good. No, don't do it.
I want to sleep, man.
Yeah, no. Nah. Look, I'm a shift worker. I don't sleep anyway. So okay. I just like, I can watch this stuff. But anyway, look, onto, you know, some maybe slightly more positive tips.
Yeah.
We're going to
maybe we'll tip Melbourne just for track sake.
We can't.
Who they're up against.
I'll let you know.
Oh,
I'll let you know shortly. But the first game is Carlton versus Geelong.
Yeah, back in the Blue Boys, man.
Happy to do that as well, mate. Port versus Brisbane in Adelaide. That's actually a tough one to tip, to be honest with you.
I'm going to go for Brisbane because I like the narrative of them grinding their season out and finding their way back.
Yeah, you know, you're convincing me every time with these tips, mate. Mm. GWS versus the Swans at Engi.
I don't think I could ever tip against the Swans.
Yeah, no. Nah. We're going to tip them every game until the grand final.
Yeah.
And then if they come up against Carlton, we'll go against Carlton.
And if they come against the Pies, we'll go Sydney.
That's it. And now, so 7:30 afternoon, Saturday afternoon, Melbourne versus North at the MCG.
Ooh. Look,
I don't care. I don't care what you say. North is going to be the podcast tip. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
It's going to be North. Shout out to Track. I like you. But like without you, our midfield is better. 100%. And no one can convince me otherwise. Oliver's cool, but LDU is a better player right now.
Yeah.
Currently, he's a better player. And then what? You're going to have Cozzy Pickett. Tom Sparrow. What are you gonna?
Trent Rivers.
Yeah. Viney's cool, but like, yeah, no. This is we're tipping them. We're tipping them, and like
they probably still don't have Lever.
I don't know. But it doesn't matter. Without Track, you know, what's Lever, man? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter that much. Anyway, look, I'd love a win. We'd love a win. The next game is Essendon versus the West Coast Eagles.
And can Essendon just have like another hard game, please?
Yeah, I'd honestly love that. I'd love that. But yeah, no, they'll beat West Coast.
Is Hardaway's not back?
Nice.
Ugh, not watchable.
He's going to miss. So he missed the game against us.
Yeah.
Bye, and then he's missing this one. Yeah.
That makes I can't sense. Watch Eagles games without Reid playing, sorry.
Exactly. No. You know, without Reid, man, I got no content for the post show message. You know what I mean? Like, he's making it tough for me.
It's just not exciting, man.
Yeah, go back out there, bro. I need you for this.
Yeah.
Quick mention on the pod. Yeah, if you guys hear the music at the end of the podcast and just turn us off, man, there are little
Easter eggs
at the end of the pod. You know, so if you've missed them, go back and have a listen. But yeah, the last game of the round, Freo versus Gold Coast at Freo. I'm happy to go for it, yeah, man. Like, because they're both mid teams, you know. But it's at Optus, so you know. Surely Gold Coast can't shut down Jordan Clark and Luke Ryan 2 weeks in a row.
No, they better
can't
not.
Happen. They better not. They better not, man. You got Ryan and
I brought in Clark, man.
I co-signed that pick.
You participated in it.
I did participate.
You got your blood all over that decision.
Look, I'm sorry for ruining your season.
No, I actually had a good week.
Do you remember last year? It was another Freer halfback. I'm like, Wagner, bro. Get Wagner.
They just got a lot of halfbacks, man.
I know, man. And now this week, get Warner.
Carl Warner.
Get Warner, bro.
He's coming in.
Look. There's not many games that
there's
week.
There's a lot of bye teams.
Yeah, and like so Collingwood not playing, Hawks not playing, Bulldogs not playing. They're the only teams that really matter not playing. And then Adelaide, Saints and Richmond. Yeah, who cares about them? Unless you got any other little things you want to talk about for this week.
Live well, be happy.
That's it, man. Stay safe.
Just be happy that you're not being cut apart without anesthetic.
Exactly. You know, shout out Track.
Yeah.
Yeah, and have a good week, guys. To see you guys on the next one, man.
See you later. Bye.
Heal, man. I'm heart sick. I'm hungry. Thought I could survive on you. Heal my heart sick, hungry cries.